Steve, het waar jij. Just give the music team time to move about. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 25 to chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tana kupu kia tato. And our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35, and then verses 41 to 51. Praise and glory. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Verse 41. At this time, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. They said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Te rongo pai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamau mi iti tia ia te kupu mana.
Welcome, Ian.
Thank you, Penny. Morena, good morning. Corey and Scarlett, tōku ingoa. Over the past two Sundays, we've been looking at John's account of Jesus miraculously feeding a great crowd of people that included at least 5,000 heads of households. Bruce Candy spoke about the miracle with the five small barley loaves and two fish a fortnight ago. Then last Sunday, Vicar Mark spoke about the significance of Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." This morning, we're continuing the bread of life theme. To set the scene, we're going to view a short excerpt from the video series, The Chosen. This is Jesus feeding the 5,000, acted out. If you're sitting right at the back, there's a few empty seats up the front. You might like to come forward so you get a better view of the video. In the excerpt that we're going to watch, Jesus has just said to the disciples, "You feed them." Here we go.
Loaves of bread and two fish. But what is this for so many?
Barley loaves.
Two fish and five barley loaves. Thank you for clarifying.
This is humiliating.
John.
He will take care of it if he wants to.
You look scared. What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid that he'll choose them.
This is wonderful bread, Telemachus.
I know it's not enough.
Oh, it's enough for me. I can do a lot with this. Thank you.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Did they find some bread?
If they've got bread, be ready. We'll probably be first.
Feed them. What has changed? Are we
organized the people into groups of 50 and 100? Gather up 12 baskets to distribute the loaves and fish.
Was I unclear?
No.
This feels familiar.
Maybe.
Let's go.
Does anyone have a basket? Please borrow a basket.
Take my basket.
Oh, do. Please.
Come on.
Yes, it's important. Yes, over here.
Sorry. Feed them. Yes.
Anyone have a basket? Anyone?
The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field.
Anyone have a basket?
It is the smallest of all seeds. But when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and make their nests in its branches.
I've got one.
There's just come on, break up the bread.
Okay. How need we have?
There, you take some. There.
What's the tracks?
Just need some.
Give me some of that.
You have enough?
Just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. There. There.
Anyone need some?
It's better than the tail.
That's the last of it. Yeah, that's the last of it.
All right.
Marcus, you can have your basket back.
Look!
Is your basket full?
You see this? You see all this?
How?
I've kept you here all this time giving you spiritual food. But you clearly need actual food now. So let's eat!
Loaves of bread and 2 fish.
Impressive, wasn't it? And seeing that reminds me of the awesome work Pippa and her team of volunteers put in every week at our Friday food share, reaching out in love to people in need. And also of the generous donations of groceries and finance from our church family and beyond, as well as the miracles of provision that God does as we work to share the love of Jesus with people around us in our community. Our gospel reading ended with Jesus saying to his listeners, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He said this to people who John referred to as the Jews. Earlier, Jesus had been speaking to a receptive crowd, but in the passage that we heard this morning, verses 41 to 51, he's speaking to people who were his primary opponents. They were a hostile and unreceptive audience. And there's a sense of conflict and hostility in the interchanges. The Jews grumble about Jesus saying that he's the bread come down from heaven. They knew his father and mother, and refused to believe that he'd come down from heaven. In response, Jesus said, "Stop grumbling among yourselves." But then he goes on to engage with them, even though they were hostile towards him. Jesus could have walked away and ignored them, but in love, he sought to bring the life of God to their unbelieving hearts. My natural reaction when faced with conflict and hostility is to walk away. Anyone like me? When our children were teenagers, I earned some extra money in the lead up to Christmas by thinning apples in an orchard that was just over the road from our home. All sorts of people were employed by the orchard as casual thinners. Most of them were pleasant to work with, but there were one or two whose language was rough and aggressive. Every second word was an F-bomb. I kept my distance from them, but I think Jesus may have approached them with more compassion and love. Our reading from Paul's letter to the people of God in Ephesus expands on the idea of reaching out in love. After a detailed list of destructive behaviors and attitudes to put off, and constructive ones to put on, Paul summarizes with these words: follow God's example, he says, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Like the people of God in Ephesus, we're invited to walk in the way of love by following Jesus' example. Let's keep that in mind as we explore what Jesus said to the Jews in our gospel reading. In verse 48, Jesus said, very simply, I am the bread of life. Why did he choose bread? He could have said, I am the water of life, or I am the vegetables of life. But he said, I am the bread of life. Bread is mentioned over 255 times in the Bible. Can you think of some examples? Any ideas of a verse that mentions bread, apart from I am the bread of life? The Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Yeah? Any others? How about man shall not live by bread alone? What was that one?
Cast your bread on the waters.
Cast your bread on the waters, and after many days it will return to you. Yeah. And then there was the festival of unleavened bread. In the Old Testament, bread was a symbol of welcome and reconciliation. When three strange men visited Abraham, he asked Sarah to bake some bread. It was also a symbol of worship. You remember the grain offerings in the book of Leviticus? They were very special offerings, and it was bread that was being offered. Bread was a symbol of life itself. When Elijah visited the widow of Zarephath, when there was famine in the land of Israel, because Elijah had been praying that it wouldn't rain for 3 years, he asked for a piece of bread to keep him alive. Bread meant life. And as we heard earlier, the Lord's Prayer, we say, give us today our daily bread. After saying that he was the bread of life, Jesus compared himself with manna in the wilderness. Manna sustained the children of Israel for 40 years on their journey through the wilderness. It arrived 6 mornings of every week and kept them alive physically, but it didn't nourish them spiritually. They often turned away from God and worshipped other gods while they were in the wilderness, like the golden calf, for example. And the result was both spiritual and physical death. You will remember that a whole generation died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. In contrast, Jesus said, but here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. He went on and said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. It seems to me that Jesus was talking about a different kind of bread. Bread that nourishes us spiritually and makes us fully alive, body, soul, and spirit. None of us want to go through life at the level of mere existence. We want our lives to be rich in meaning and purpose. And that is exactly what Jesus offers. He gives fullness of life to whoever comes to him. When the Israelites collected manna in the wilderness, they were only to collect enough for that day. It was not to be kept until the next morning. But some of them paid no attention and kept part of it until next morning, only to discover that it had spoiled. It was crawling with maggots. God was trying to teach his people something very important. He wanted them to know that he was the ultimate source of life and that they could trust him to provide one day at a time. And today, Jesus invites us to come to him believing that he is the ultimate source of life. Now, we can know that in our heads, but it's challenging to put it into practice in our daily lives. Yes, we all want to be more out of life than mere existence. But we can look to all sorts of things to provide that sense of fulfillment. We may look to our relationships for ultimate satisfaction. That feeling of being loved and accepted for who we are. We may look to our achievements for that sense of fulfillment. That's me. When I was a student, I thought if I can just get A+ grades, I'll be truly satisfied. I did. But I wasn't truly satisfied. Later, when I was working at NZQA, I remember thinking, if I could just get promoted to a leadership role and earn more money, I would feel fulfilled. It could be a hobby or a sport that we are hoping to draw life from. Or it could be a just short-term pleasure, just feeling great in the moment that we hope will give us meaning. While many of these things are good, they'll never truly satisfy the longing in our heart. If you try to find ultimate satisfaction in any of these things, like the manna that was kept overnight, it will always spoil. They'll never truly satisfy the longing in your heart. In a series of radio broadcasts during World War II, C.S. Lewis explored this idea, and it was later published in a book called Mere Christianity in 1952. Some of the language is a bit old-fashioned, but I want to read what he had to say as he explored this idea of finding what really satisfies us. Most people, he says, if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want, and want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. The longings which arise in us when we first fall in love, or first think of some foreign country, or first take up some subject that excites us, are longings which no marriage, no travel, no learning can really satisfy. He went on to say, I'm not now speaking of what would be ordinarily called unsuccessful marriages or holidays or learned careers. I'm speaking of the best possible ones. There was something we grasped at in that first moment of longing, which just fades away in the reality. I think everyone knows what I mean. The wife may be a good wife, and the hotels and scenery may be excellent, and chemistry may be a very interesting job, but something has evaded us. And what is it that has evaded us? It's the satisfaction of the spiritual hunger in our hearts. Our gospel reading began with Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." To satisfy the spiritual hunger in our hearts, Jesus says, "Come to me and believe in me." Coming to Jesus is something we need to do every single day. To be able to walk in the way of love, we need to feed on the Word of God. Following Jesus' example of walking in the way of love doesn't come naturally to us. It only happens when we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And remember, we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Believing in Jesus requires us to confront our own unbelief. American evangelist D.L. Moody said, "Unbelief is the root of all sin." To believe in Jesus is to make him the final point of our trust. If you're like me, my final point of trust is often my own ability. Last year, we got involved in helping a teenager with getting up and getting to work on time. I came up with some great strategies that could solve the problem. But after a few weeks, when there was no real improvement, I felt the Lord say to me, "Let go. Relax. You're getting all hot and bothered because you're trying to solve this problem in your own strength." Recently, that teenager has been working at Camp America and getting up at 5:30 a.m. every morning. The writer of Hebrews talks about trust with these words. He says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I was 24 years old when I first came to Jesus and believed in him. Afterwards, I learned that a lot of people in my family and circle of friends had been praying for me. My wife Jenny, my parents and grandparents, teaching colleagues at the school where I was teaching, even students from my Year 12 maths class were praying for me. God the Father was drawing me to Jesus by inspiring his people who knew me to pray. He always does it like that. When God wants to do something, he gets his people praying. Right now, Jenny and I are praying for our grandchildren, especially the ones who are teenagers. We've got about four of them in that category. My question for you is there someone in your family or circle of friends that the Father is asking you to lift in prayer and believe that he's at work drawing them to come to Jesus? I've covered quite a lot of ground this morning. But I'd like you to focus on what has caught your attention. What has God been saying to you while I've been speaking? In a few moments, we're going to sing the Passion. Please, I want you to use the words of this song to express your response to God. Especially when we sing a line in the song that says, I give my whole life to honour this love. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for making it possible for us to have a relationship with you. And thank you for sending Jesus as the bread of life to satisfy the spiritual hunger in our hearts. Please strengthen us by filling us with the Holy Spirit and encouraging us as we exercise our faith in praying for others. Amen.